This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, this is Amy Harrison, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. Now, if you're using social media channels, such as Twitter, to promote your content, then this show is for you, because this week, we're looking at different ways you can beef up your tweets by adding a bit of punch and making your social media updates more eye-catching. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. So are you ready to write a stream of attention-getting, socks-knocked-off, engagement-grabbing tweets? Then let's hit publish. Now, before we dive into this week's show, I want to give a little shout out to a Hit Publish commentator. So, Carol Morgan Fox is the creator of Speaking Your Brand. She works with entrepreneurs to help give them strong, confident public presentations that will position them as experts within their field and promote their business. I love that. Carol wrote to say that she was really enjoying the ambient sounds and the dialogue in the sketches, as well as the podcast content overall. So thank you, Carol. And if you're interested in speaking for your business or giving presentations, do check her out. She's on Twitter, at Carol Morgan Fox. Now, though, it's time for the word of the week. This week's word is persiflage, a noun which means light bantering talk or writing, or a frivolous style of treating a subject. So somewhere in this podcast, I'll be hiding that word. And when you hear it, feel free to turn to the person next to you. Give them a little wink. Okay, today's show is inspired by a listener of last week's show, which was all about publishing and then promoting your content. So here we go. Dear Amy, last week when you talked about promoting your content, you mentioned writing multiple tweets scattered over a week or so to push one piece of content. How do you come up with different ideas for tweets to promote one article? Yours, many times over, Trevor. Well, Trevor, I'm pleased that you listened to so carefully last week. One gold star has been appointed to your listener profile. Now, if you weren't with us last week, and I can only assume you had some kind of urgent emergency, you may be wondering what Trevor's letter is all about. So last week, the focus of Hit Publish was how to promote your content once you've hit that publish button. One of the things that I do is load up a file of multiple but different tweets into a tool I use called Hootsuite, that then post them out periodically over a week or so. Now, all the tweets are slightly different, but they promote the same post. And I found it to be a great way to boost engagement and increase exposure to my blog posts. And as I mentioned last week, each tweet is slightly different. So Trevor wants to know how I come up with these different angles. Well, I'm really pleased he asked because this is a key technique in content marketing. And I'm going to give you five different angles to help you come up with lots of different ways to describe your content or article so that your reader is more likely to want to read it. Because you see, quite often, whether you have a post or a product to promote, you're going to have to talk about it many times over. But you don't want to say the same thing again and again, because if you do that, and if you do it on Twitter, people will just start to ignore you. Now then, Amy, how have you been? Read my blog post. Oh, bit rude. I'll have to wait until I get home to my computer. Retweet. I'll have to wait until I get to my computer. THX, thanks. Okay, so where would you like to go tonight? It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. Hashtag inspiring. Okay. Read my blog post. Link. Amy, have you mixed up real life with Twitter again? Here's me in a pub. Hashtag selfie. Now, here's the thing with Twitter. When you're posting tweets to get people to your content, it can feel like you're just broadcasting. You're like you're just sending out information and hoping someone bites. But social media is really just a conversation. So when you're thinking about writing tweets or social media updates, I want you to start thinking about not necessarily sending a message to your followers. Instead, imagine you're sitting opposite one potential reader. You have one sentence to encourage them to read your content. What would you say? The first technique I use is to pose a question. Now, questions are a powerful copywriting tool because psychologically, we're programmed to want to answer them. In your content, this is great. In real life, the pressure to answer a question can sometimes be overwhelming. And Miss Harrison, did you pack your bag yourself? Yes. I mean, I think I did. I mean, yes, of course I did. I just hope my husband didn't put a surprise in there. I mean, I don't think he did. He was out at the time that I packed. But, well, I once saw this customs show where a mother had stuffed a ton of food and sweets into her son's bag and he wasn't allowed to take it into Australia and he got told off because he didn't declare it and he didn't know it was there. And then I think he had to pay hundreds of dollars in fines. No, I don't think my husband would do that. Right. And was your bag ever left unattended? No. Well, no. I mean, gosh, I don't think so. I left it in my bedroom to have a cup of tea while I packed, but there was no one else at home with me, so no. And I watched it all the time while I travelled here. Well, except the taxi driver. He got the bag out of the car for me to save me lifting it. And I was looking in my purse to get him the money. Oh, gosh. I couldn't have looked away for more than 20 seconds. Do you think he stuffed it with contraband? How long does it take to put contraband into a suitcase? Why don't you step this way, Miss Harrison? Is it just me that gets inexplicably nervous at airports? Perhaps. Okay, so as long as you're not putting your reader under extreme pressure, questions are a good way to engage your audience. For example, you can ask them questions that they might already have on their mind. So, how can you set up a simple website in a weekend? Read this. Or, what should you do after hitting publish to promote your post? Then your link. You can also ask them questions about something they have perhaps tried to do. So, for example, have you tried to set up your own website? Are you still struggling? Or, what are your favorite ways to promote your blog posts? Do you use any of these? Now, if you look through Twitter, you'll find that a lot of tweets that get engagement ask the reader a question, and I definitely recommend playing around and using this technique. Next up, encourage people to join in a discussion. This works for a couple of reasons. One, you're treating your reader as special because you're asking them for their opinion, which shows that you are interested in them. And two, it also suggests an element of social proof if you mention that people are already talking about your blog post. So it can make your reader feel like maybe they're missing out on something special if they don't get involved. So for example, this latest blog post really split opinion about Facebook advertising. What do you think? Or, if you run a small business and work from home, I'd love to hear what you think about these productivity tools. Again, both of these techniques really treat social media as though you're having a conversation with your customer, rather than simply telling people you have a new post out. Number three, give your readers a warning. Now, most people are risk averse. We like to know information that will keep us out of harm and danger, and this can also extend to information that will help stop us making mistakes. This technique works really well if you can tell your reader that something they've been doing that they thought was safe wasn't safe at all. Amy! Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you with the Hoover on. Spring cleaning? No, I've had this monster spider in my bedroom pretty much holding me hostage and I just thought, enough's enough, I'm gonna Hoover the little sucker. Are you kidding? No, he's gone now and I can sleep at night. His name was Mitch, but you can't get sentimental about these things. Amy, haven't you read the latest thread on that housekeeping forum? What? I'm flattered you think I would read a housekeeping forum, but no. You should never, ever, ever hoover up a spider. Why? Because basically they survive being sucked up, then they live off the dust and the crumbs in the bag, make a nest, lay thousands of babies, which then escape in the night and crawl into your mouth and ears. I think I can hear him. What should I do? I'm sorry, but you're going to have to burn your house down. Now, if your article does contain advice, it's probably not as dire a warning as that. But look at your content. Ask yourself, is this piece going to help my customer avoid making some mistakes or stop them wasting time on ineffective methods? So, for example, why you should never multitask and what to do instead? Or how these two mistakes in your LinkedIn profile can make you look unprofessional? Or why you should never charge by the hour as a freelancer? Now, the next style of tweet that works really well is a good old-fashioned how-to that tells your customers something they really want to know. To show you how you could use this in different ways for the same article, let's imagine for a very, very brief moment that you have my cooking skills. Amy, what are you doing? I'm trying to follow this dang recipe. I'm getting into all of a tiz. Why? Well, what's a moderate heat? I know high is 6, because that's my top number on my oven. Low is probably 1, because that's the lowest number. But what's moderate? I've got 4 numbers in between those on the dial, and I don't know which one to use. I don't know. Try 3? Okay. Well, okay. Look at that. Is that simmering or is that boiling? Because I can see little bubbles, which means water's boiling, but I thought a simmer meant you should see some kind of action on the top. And here, I meant to fry these onions for a short while. How long is that? 3 minutes or 30 minutes? 3 minutes is a short while if you're waiting for your TV program to come on after the adverts, but 30 minutes is a short while to wait in line if you're at Disneyland at peak time. Which one applies here? Which reminds me, I have a risotto recipe to get my head around tonight. Feel free to pity my husband. So in this instance, let's say you've written a 10-point article telling someone like me how to interpret all of those rather vague cooking instructions. They seem vague to me. What might be some of the different ways that we could present this in multiple tweets? How about 1, how to follow any food recipe, perfect for beginners. 2, how to avoid spoiling any meal by overcooking. 3, confused by cookery terms? Here's what they mean. 4, never mix up your sauté with a flambé again. And 5, struggling to interpret a food recipe, help is here. Now, if you're writing a how-to article or content that helps someone do something, chances are there are many different of these mini angles that you can choose from to explain to your reader how it's going to help them. Simply jot down all the different ones you can think of, and there you go. You have the basis for some great tweets. Now, finally, another popular method is to turn a common belief upside down. This is also known as busting a myth or revealing something unexpected. It taps into your reader's curiosity by saying, hey, you know that thing that you thought was true? Well, it isn't, and here's why. Now, curiosity is one of the more trickier techniques to get right in copywriting, and here are just a few ways to help you get the best from it. 1, it has to be based on something that your customer would genuinely be interested in. It can't just be persiflage. So a great tweet that I saw recently that employed this tactic was about a guy who commutes from Barcelona to London, and it's cheaper than commuting within England. Now that's going to get a lot of attention because it's such an unexpected story. And it's the kind of thing that's going to be of interest, particularly to people who commute to London or people who are thinking about, you know, the lifestyle that they have with their commute, what's possible. Next, though, you don't want your reader thinking that they can fill in the blanks. Because if they think that they know what you're talking about, they won't feel that urge to click through. So, for example, a tweet that says, how to make more sales in 30 minutes a day. It's not that compelling or unexpected because a salesperson probably assumes that they'll know some of the techniques. Perhaps they're thinking you're going to be talking about cold calling or content marketing. But a tweet that says, how to make more sales in 30 minutes a day by playing a game on your phone is going to be more arousing to the curiosity because it seems to defy convention. So another recent example, I wrote a blog post last week called 5 Reasons Being Small is Your Big Content Marketing Advantage. And I noticed that this particular title for the tweet worked really well to engage people on Twitter because a common assumption is that big brands have a massive advantage over small businesses when it comes to content marketing. And in the post, I outlined 5 ways smaller businesses can gain a competitive advantage. Okay, so those are 5 ways to help you beef up your tweets. We've got asking questions. We've got asking for opinions, issuing a warning, giving a good old how-to, and then finally, revealing something unexpected. I'll link to some more resources to help you in the show notes. And one thing that I would say, if you want to take this further, spend some time on Twitter. What catches your eye? What gets your attention? What makes you want to click and why? Also, another great place to look is at the front of magazines. How do they provide those snippets of information that make you want to open up the magazine and find out more? Also, if you have a blog post and you want to know how you can apply these techniques to your content, simply let me know in the comments. I'll be happy to help you hash some ideas out there. And finally, next Wednesday, on the 2nd of September, I'll be releasing a free copywriting lab video looking at how to improve your Twitter copywriting. It's going to be a free video tutorial. I'll be reviewing people's tweets, helping them write more engaging updates, all for free. And I'll also be developing a free cheat sheet that you can download to help and have to hand when you're writing your social media updates. So if you want to find out more, go to the show notes, find the link. I want to thank you for being a fan dabby dozy Hit Publisher listener. If you found this useful today, I'd love it if you popped over to iTunes, left a rating and a review. It takes just a few minutes, but apparently if you leave a review, it increases the chance of you getting a green light at a junction. Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.